From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, February 19th, 2013. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Hightstown, New Jersey.
Over the past couple of weeks, Directions Magazine began adding infographics to the types of media we curate. These graphic representations of data and ideas are among the hottest things in the media today. Should geospatial professionals consider them as tools? Should the media build and share them? What are their pros and cons? We'll take a look at infographics after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agoleval.
Now, let's start out with some definitions of infographics, and let me start with one from Wikipedia that I think is really pretty good. Information graphics, or infographics, are graphic visual representations of information, data, or knowledge intended to present complex information quickly and clearly. They can improve cognition by utilizing graphics to enhance the human visual system's ability to see patterns and trends. The process of creating infographics can be referred to as data visualization, information design, or information architecture. Now, the article at Wikipedia goes on to talk about how journalism is using them more and more. There was a terrific story in the New York Times a couple months back now, about an avalanche that had maps and photographs and this compelling story, and it was nonfiction and it was amazing. So that's definitely happening. The other thing that's happening with infographics is that businesses are using them as communication tools with the idea of attracting potential customers. And they've also become a tool for internet marketers and companies to create content that others will link to try to boost their reputation and online presence. And they're also being used widely in education, where students build their own infographics to help them better understand the key concepts that they're working with. Now, the other definition that I think is sadly more appropriate today comes from visual.ly, visually, which is a site that curates infographics. And this pretty much says it, quote, "Our infographics and data visualizations tell your story, drive traffic, and amplify your social media presence." Right? So while these are really designed as tools to convey information, like any tool, they can be used, if you like, for good or for evil, and marketing maybe fits in somewhere along that line. And what I want to do today, actually, is to walk through some of the infographics that we've shared on Directions Magazine in the last week or two and evaluate them and try to dig into some of these questions that I've raised. And let's start with a Google visualization. And this is one that came along with a report that we actually talked about last week. Okay, so Joe, this was an infographic that you posted. So maybe you can tell me what you really like about this, how this particular infographic was successful and what it tried to do.
Yeah, let me go through some of the pros and cons, what I liked and disliked about the Google Geoservices graphic. First of all, that was a very lengthy report, and I think the idea of trying to distill the information into an infographic was more or less successful. It was a really meaty report, and what came out of that report was, as we discussed last week, was how big is the geo services market, the geospatial technology market in general. Right at the top of the infographic was a bar chart. So if you want to start off using infographics, it's really helpful to use a graphic that most people are familiar with. And as we get into this discussion, I think one of the things we can take away from this is, are the graphics that people use, do they convey the information that you intend to convey? So the use of the bar chart to more or less give a relative size picture of the geoservices market was right up front and caught you immediately. So the size of the market was relative to, in our case, the video games industry and the airline industry. So what I like what they did was right up front they got to the information quickly and then tried to segment the market satellite receiver, satellite imagery, electronic maps, navigation, location-based services. So I think they did that well. And overall, what these infographics should portray is get me the information quickly and visually. As a visual people, we want to see the information, we can interpret it. What I thought they did poorly was I thought there was insufficient numbers about the size of the segments, how big each segment of the industry was. And there was a sort of a lack of proportionality to some of the diagrams. For example, in the case of looking at the amount of gasoline saved, well, they gave a single barrel of gasoline. Well, that was okay, but there wasn't any relativity to it.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. I think you've pulled out some of the pros and cons. One of the things that I thought was interesting, you talked about segmenting the industry with these graphics about satellite receivers and satellite imagery and satellite navigation. I didn't understand it that way. That, to me, was where they were defining what geoservices are. Right? So that was just their visual representation of what the industry is.
Correct, right. And I get that. In fact, if they wanted to enhance this graphic, infographic, was why not give a relative picture? In other words, take each one of those icons and give them a relative size to depict the size of the segmented markets.
Right, as opposed to just having these little icons there that are supposed to
represent the
represent
segments
them
themselves.
Or maybe help you remember them. Remember, one of the things in the definition was about using the human ability to find patterns and find relationships. And just having icons, as you said, doesn't do that. And let me also point out the little graphic about how many lives are saved because of GPS and emergency response. It's this little stack of little people, and it's awesome, but there's nothing to compare it to. Well, how
correct,
many lives
yeah.
are saved by seatbelts or something else, right?
I got the same impression.
Right. And the last thing I'll say about this graphic, the source was Auxera, but as I understand it, the graphic itself was made by Google, is they did not provide embed code, so folks like us could embed it in a blog post or something, which is kind of the point of this from a marketing standpoint. So
right.
That was very disappointing. Let's move on to mobile location wars. Another infographic we looked at is called Local Mobile Wars, and what it shows is how people in different cities are using different operating systems on phones to either find places to live or do mapping in general. And they sort of go city by city. And I have to say, this really made me crazy, in part because it was super long, and you had to sort of walk down this huge graphic from top to bottom to sort of understand what was going on. And there was nothing particularly comparable about it as you moved from city to city. There was no relative geography where Boston is compared to Charlotte. There were sort of too many things going on at once. We've got apartments versus houses. We've got Android versus iOS and other, and in each city we've got different representations of the kinds of apartments there are and houses there are, and I was just sort of overwhelmed and could draw no conclusions, sort of using my higher reasoning ability to find patterns in this graphic. So once you scroll down through all these cities, then you come to sort of the second part of it, which is about smartphone use data from ComScore. And this is really confusing because it uses wholly different colors to represent the iPhone and the Android device. Again, my head started to spin, and this information was pulled from homes.com and forrent.com. You can see why they might put something like this together. So my big issues here are it's super long. There's no embed code, so you can put it. It doesn't have color consistency. It doesn't have things you can compare easily. And I'm not even sure what it's trying to say or to whom.
Yeah, I found this terribly confusing, and I was communicating with one of the people from ForRent that posted this because they'd asked me to comment on it. And I told them, number one, I'll go just to an individual city. I found it confusing as to what they were trying to say about the use of home searches or apartment searches, whether they were trying to say that this is the number of searches by text or by map. So I just found that whole box for an individual city confusing in what they were trying to convey. Of course, what they're trying to say is here's how many searches are done by Android versus iOS, and here's how many are done, I guess, in text versus directly on a map. So I just found that whole portrayal of information really confusing.
Who do you think they put this graphic together for?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because it certainly wouldn't necessarily be for renters. It almost seems like it was directed at the mobile handset manufacturers, like, hey, this is how many people are using Android versus iOS, and here's how many are doing mapping searches versus just simple textual searches. It's kind of pointed at us in the industry, in my mind. It's certainly not pointed at renters. Why would they use it?
Yeah, that one really made very little sense to me. And the final one I'd like to look at, I'm going to just start off by saying, I think is the best of the bunch. And this is from space.com. Now, the folks at space.com put together an infographic called Earth from Space, Landsat Satellite's 40-Year Legacy Explained. And there are like a million things I like about this, but Joe, why don't you start with what you like about it?
Yeah, there are tons of things that were great about here. They provided the imager components, the timeline of Landsat, the orbital constraints, all of which are important aspects of Landsat, plus an example of false color imagery. It did it all in a very short, concise graphic. It was, I thought, very, very well done. The cons, I would say, there was a lacking of the graphic on the number of images collected. I would have liked to have seen that number, and maybe perhaps how the imagery is being used on an industry basis. You know, how many are used by oil and gas, how much by education. Overall, though, not much to complain about it, because they got the information across in a short, concise diagram. So good on them. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, to your criticism, I can see why you might have been interested in that, but mm-hmm. I think this infographic was really aimed at the readers of space.com, who are people who are interested in space.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I think they did a terrific job of selecting the important factors that you need to know, especially about Landsat. So there's like four or five things going on in this graphic, no more. Each one is very distinct. The other thing that I think is really important about this, and maybe also highlights where the challenges are, is that the folks at space.com had their, I assume, their own infographics artist, somebody named Carl Tate, who I don't know who that is, but they have somebody who knows what they're doing, put this together. And unlike the other graphics that we looked at, space.com, the media outlet, put this together, not some vendor who's trying to sell you something.
Right.
And I think that's really huge. And also, kudos to our friends at space.com. This one had embed code, so you can pick it up and plop it and use it in your site, which, and I'm sure that it was very well used because of that.
Yeah, I like the fact also that they put a little human-to-scale picture relative to the size of the actual Landsat 8 spacecraft. That very, very helpful.
Again, doing that comparison thing that we're supposed to be doing with our brains. So let's just wrap up with our issues with infographics. And Joe, you're really pro-infographic, and you're really the one who started to post them at Directions. So give me, let me know why you think it's important that this particular visualization technique be widely used.
Well, the important thing here is, can we get across some very meaty information in a relatively short period of time that's graphically oriented? Again, as graphical people, we want to see information quickly. We have so much information to digest on a daily basis that I think infographics have become popular because people don't have as much time to dig into these meaty reports that we sometimes see. So I think that they're becoming popular. I think we're at the kind of the nation stage of doing them well. But I think they're popular because we want information and we want to present it to us quickly.
Yeah, I think this idea of really condensing a big set of ideas or a big set of data into a handful of takeaways is really important. In fact, there was an article over the being Valentine's Day weekend this past weekend by our friend Pam Allison, who we talked about a couple weeks back, who does some articles for ESRI talking about who spends money on Valentine's Day with some maps, and it was quite detailed. And one of the comments was, I would have loved it if you had an infographic to summarize all this stuff.
Right.
Which I thought was just really interesting, because it was a whole series of maps, but with lots of text, and it was quite meaty, as you point out. my concern about infographics has to do with getting at what it is you're trying to say. You've really got to pick the 3 or 5 points you're trying to make. Don't put too much data in there. And if you're going to make an argument, you really need to have an argument that follows sort of step by step. Putting sort of random things one after another doesn't really help. In a sense, you want to tell a story. And I think you need to think about and compose it in that way. I'm also a bit concerned with this just random use of just icons. Here's a picture of a satellite dish. And if its only value is to just put a picture there, then maybe that's not the best way to convey it. Maybe that belongs in text alongside the infographic or visualized in some other way. And I think the other thing that's really happening now is that there are so many online tools to make infographics that they're starting to become like maps in the sense that people make them because they can, not because they're really thinking about using this particular visualization because it fits with what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and I would remind our listeners that what they should do is take a look at some of the links we put in the show notes, because one of the things that I found interesting was an article about what you can learn from 10 infographics, giving the pros and cons. And one of the interesting things there was, again, as we have been pointing out, the use of icons. The use of icons are good if you understand what the icon is, if there's already some familiarity with what that icon represents or what the overall diagram itself, so whatever geometric shape you want to take. For example, in that article, there's an example of a pyramid. Intuitively, we know that something at the bottom of a pyramid is bigger and at the top it's smaller. And so as a way to convey information immediately, most people are familiar with pyramids. And that whatever you put into that infographic, you're already kind of a step ahead in digesting the information.
Well, that's all the time we have. Our sponsor, ESRI, wants you to know that the newest release of ArcGIS API for Silverlight supports the latest ArcGIS Online enhancements, Visual Studio 2012, and more. The free API lets you develop custom web mapping applications on the Microsoft Silverlight platform and integrate them with Visual Studio and Expression Blend. For more information and to download, visit esri.com/silverlight.
And from us here at Directions, I'd like to remind you that our full agenda for the Location Intelligence 2013 conference is now online. Please view it at locationintelligence.net. And remember that you can save $150 off the registration fee if you register before March 1st.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can tweet us at directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted at Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.